Well, hello everybody and welcome back to another episode of the Mental Mastery Golf Podcast, the Let's Talk About It series with Jamie Glazier and myself, Ross Lanigan, the co-host. We've got another one of our friends of the podcast joining us to unpack what I think is going to be a very interesting set of challenges for a number of golfers. And certainly in reading Daniel's notes, I'm very interested to almost participate in this because I think what he has experienced recently as the two-time club championship winner at Challenbar Golf Club in Ararat, Victoria, I think what he's about to unpack is going to impact a lot of golfers, especially those sort of lower handicap golfers. Jamie, welcome back. Thanks for joining us again. Thanks for taking the time out of your day to help one of the listeners. How are you?
I'm very well, mate. Very well. And yeah, really looking forward to this one. Daniel is, as you said, is a long-time supporter of the podcast and really excited to spend some time with him unpacking some of his mental game. I know he's just come off a really nice win, back-to-back club champions. Is a very difficult thing to do, and so excited to unpack that as well as these couple of challenges that he's mentioned. So, let's get him on.
Let's bring him in. Dan Crawford, welcome to the Mental Mastery Golf Podcast Let's Talk About It series. Congratulations. You're still basking the glory up there in Ararat, you know, the ticker tape parade, all of the signings, the flag signings, all that sort of thing. How's the last week been?
Really good. Thanks for having me, guys. Love the podcast and love this series too. It's been brilliant. It's been good. It's just probably for me more a personal sense of achievement, which is something I always wanted to do and sort of dreamt of seeing a name on a board somewhere for a championship. Never thought it would happen. And to do it 2 years in a run's, a bit of a dream.
No, of course, mate. And, we were being a bit flippant there, but it's a massive, massive achievement to do it once, but let alone twice back to back. It's a huge achievement and a credit to where, you've taken your golf to, and we've been on that journey. You've been hanging around us there, virtually for a couple of years now, and you've supported a lot that we've done and you've, credited, the learnings to your golf through hanging around with us, so to speak. So it's been great to watch that and great to see the success. But, I think you're at the point now where you think, well, there's more available on the table. I can get better. I can get to the next level, and I guess that's what we're sort of going to talk about today, and put some learnings in place to help you, sustain and maintain and get to that next level. And I guess, Jamie, over to you. But let's unpack what Daniel's got to bring to the table.
Yeah, definitely. I think if we just go through quickly, Daniel, for the listeners. You've been playing golf how long?
As long as I can remember, from a junior kid.
Yep. And these sort of questions are relevant to be able to get everyone to understand that you could be playing golf for 30 years and at a really, really high level, but there's always going to be these mental obstacles and these mental challenges, and the game is just – it's just built differently. So that's why I sort of always want to know what people's journey has been in the game of golf, how long they've been playing. Currently, what is the handicap?
2.9 as of the other day.
And what is the lowest you've ever been off?
2.1, I think I got to, which is, it's was always a thing of when I started, a two marker was considered to be really, really good. And it took me a long time to believe that I can play the game okay, that I've shot under par, I've been lucky enough to have hole-in-ones. Don't want to hit anything there. But it's, for me, I grew up in an era where it was terrible. When you had confidence in yourself, you loved yourself, and that got taken down. But to actually now at 42 years old go, I am okay at this game, I can play it, and there's nothing wrong with saying that, has been a big thing, and I do thank you for that because you've given me the confidence to do it.
Mate, that's fantastic. That's fantastic. And I think what you want to unpack today, I'm sort of quietly confident in the fact that this could be the thing that's holding you back from getting below 2.9, getting below 2.1, going through to shooting the lowest score you've ever shot. What's the lowest round you've ever shot?
3 under is lowest, but I did shoot was that 5 or 6 under in a Jensen's where you take the best drive. So probably my best, but 3 under after that.
3 under. So great. So I'm really, excited to be able to put some sort of framework in place around this, you know, this area of the game that you want to unpack. So if you can just tell the listeners exactly what is sort of the things that you want to target in today's discussion.
It probably resolves around scoring, and I'm a bit of a bugger at, I'll get on a run of two or three birdies or a really good stretch of holes. And I know through the Mental Mastery Clubhouse, which I absolutely love and credit to a lot, to break it down into groups of three, that sort of thing. I tend to do it in two nines. It's just what I'm comfortable with. So I sort of work through nine, and then my comment always on the second nine is new nine, new round, and off we go. But I'll sort of get a couple under, and then sort of go, oh, well, I've got a couple of shots to play with here. And ultimately, somewhere along the line, it just, I have a couple of bogeys, a double, I throw something in. And I did that in the last round of championships, finished the front nine, 35 even par, and just went, what the hell happened there? Because it should have been so much better. Saying that, I still gained a fair few shots over everyone, so I couldn't care less. But it was more that thing of, for me, yeah, I tend to just take the foot off as to how it feels, but I don't know why. I just do it.
Yeah. Well, I think when, you know, what you spoke about there was when you do get a couple under par, there is this probably subconscious and unconscious, you know, couple of shots that you can play with that if you lose those, you're still in your happy place.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that beautiful area of comfort zone that a lot of us live in, and we want to try and just be able to learn how to expand that comfort zone, especially when it comes to you know, lower scoring. Also, that a lot of that can be driven by confidence as well. If you're two under par and, you know, that journey of confidence that you've been on, if you don't really believe that you can continue that, then you'll find a way to prove yourself right.
Yep. Okay. You've hit something there.
That confirmation bias is sensational, you know. And how I describe that is that we act and behave in a way to confirm what we believe about ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
So what we want to do is we want to actually try and create some strategies to accelerate proof, to be able to prove to yourself that you can do this because you've been doing it, even if it's in a what I might consider a false economy, like what you said about you shot three under, but you have shot five or six in a Jetson.
Mm-hmm.
You actually, part of you believes you did shoot five or six under,
mm-hmm.
but it's a semi-false economy.
Yeah.
But that's okay. The brain, after a while, can't really differentiate between what's real or what's false if we feed it that information. So, you know, the little games like nine holes, play off the two ball, best ball off the front tee, you've got to shoot seven under par for nine holes.
Mm-hmm.
You get two shots at it, you pick the best ball, same with putting, two putts at it, you pick the best putt. You'll start to activate a bit of that scoring comfort zone in an exercise like that and have that little bit of a, oh, my God, I'm six under through eight. I've got to get one more to achieve my goal. But it creates that mindset of one more. Let's get one more. Let's get one more. And there's other concepts that we can also help with that almost trick the mind to think you're two under par, to think it's one over par instead, to keep you in your comfort zone.
So this is more about stepping out, because it took me a long time to get down to where I am just through comfort. I think it's to walk off and shoot five over for a long time was just very easy to do and comfortable. And it was after a lot of stuff I realized that's it. And you're probably right, is do you believe or do I believe that I'm that good? And there's a part of me that probably doesn't. If I'm very frank, it's sort of something to go, I know I can, but do I truly believe that is the thing.
Yeah. Like, when would be the last time you shot under par?
Oh, it would be probably 12 to 18 months ago now. But right. I don't, and on the other side too, it has been very consistent golf. I don't think I've had over nine over in that time that I can remember. So
this is the really cool thing is we look at three under as the benchmark,
because
that's been your best round. So when you get to one or two under, you'll have that in mind, right? I'm just trying to strive for that. But if you were to go out there, like I don't know whether in a typical club comp, you go out there to set an intention of shooting par or better that day?
Something I have done a lot is very careful in what intention I set, because that was something I never did until I went to National Mastery Club S. Like, I never set a thing. Like, if I was working on my swing and then I'd go out and have a terrible day and wonder why, well, my intention was to get my swing better, not to score.
Yeah.
But you're probably right in the fact of, if I can be around my handicap or under it, that's probably what I'm aiming to do, is just be there rather than, yeah, actually, can I get under par here?
Yeah, yeah. And it might even be that we might start out with that intention of playing to my handicap. And on those days where things are progressing ahead of schedule, you're one or two under par, just to step into it, just to lean on that confidence that you should have from having shot that number before.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you get to one or two under, those doubts creep in, complacency could be another one. So, again, anytime you have those thoughts of, oh, geez, you know, I've got a couple of shots to burn here, we want that intentional Daniel, that Daniel that knows he can break through, to step in and go, hang on a sec, I'm 2 under, I'm playing really nicely. Let's focus on executing golf shots, committing to my targets, and give myself the best chance to get another one under par.
Mm-hmm.
And then the same thing happens, then another one under par, then another one under par. And you just keep that just repeating, but being able to recognize what is the initial response to that, and that is that sort of complacency and the sort of, oh, well, I've got a couple to burn. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. And it dawned on me, it might have been the first week of the 3 rounds of championship, I was going along and the thought I've never had in my life just goes, this could be your first bogey-free round. And that just changed everything. And, of course, straight away you bogey pretty much on the next hole. And yeah. I don't know where that came from or why it was there, but it was something that I thought, I've never had a bogey-free round, even with, you know, shooting under. I've always thrown in something somewhere.
Yeah, yeah. And what part of the round of golf was that?
Was about going into the 12th hole, I think.
Right.
So I got through 11 and was just coasting and, yeah, went a little bit south for a couple of holes after that.
Yeah. And I don't mind those thoughts popping up.
Yeah.
You know, because something good's got to be going on for you to actually even consider and feel like this is an okay thought to have.
Yep.
So, but when that thought comes up, it's really important to grab that thought and have a conversation with it. Okay, I have got an opportunity of going bogey free today. What do I need to keep doing that's going to allow me to do that?
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to give me the best chance of doing that. And if I don't, it's okay. But while I've got this opportunity, I'm going to grab it with both hands and just give it the best shot I can.
Yeah. Cool.
Do you know what I mean? Because how did you respond to that thought when it popped up?
Oh, just nerves. It just, you know, definitely nerves. Of probably the old don't stuff this perhaps rather than, well, this is the shot I need to play here.
Yeah.
I do try, and something I've got a lot better with through all this is getting much better at the shot at hand. Yeah. And the rest just sort of happens, that what happened before off the tee really doesn't matter, and what the next shot is doesn't really matter. I've got this shot here. Yeah. And the clearer I can be about that, and the more, well, clarity, confidence and commitment I can show, the better it'll result. So, yeah, but there was a lot of nerves thinking, oh, let's not stuff this up and you know, perhaps not playing the shot I may have played, just to maybe think, oh, well, I need to play safe rather than sort of, yeah, just going, well, let's just hit this.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So, yeah, you know, and again, just recognizing that that's a very natural, normal response to that thought of when that thought pops up about, geez, I could have a bogey-free round here. Typically the next response might be, gee, don't stuff it up.
Yep.
Right? And that's okay. It's about, all right, well, that's good. I've had that thought. I'll let that float by. And now I'm going to come back to, if I want to give myself the best chance of being able to execute a bogey-free round, here's what I've got to go and commit to. And if it happens, fantastic. If it doesn't, well, I'm okay. I've gotten to this point in my life without one. So if another day happens, it's sort of okay. So, so I think that's great. And when it comes to scoring, you mentioned something earlier before we started recording about finishing sort of double-double in a round of golf.
That was in the second round of championships. So I'd done the hardest stretch of holes at Chalumbar is known to be sort of through 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. It's a very tough stretch of holes. And I got through that, and then I thought, if I can get through here, I was one over, and I thought, if I can get through the 16th, we should be right on top of things. And I made a really good par, actually, there. I did miss the green. It was a bit of a thing. Had a really tough chip and put it to about a foot, rolled it in, and thought that was just a great, great par. And I just sort of, I don't know what happened, but I just think I did take the foot off the gas. And I've done all the hard work over here. And then I just threw in a double out of nowhere, and it was just a very soft double. And then the last hole did the same thing. I just threw in a double. And, I don't really know where that came from, other than I think I had in my head, even if I have a bogey or two bogeys going in there, I'm still going to be ahead. I'm still where I want to be. And probably that complacency and comfortable zone. But just completely went south.
Yeah, it's interesting when we sort of unpack some of these thoughts. If we talk about giving your brain a license, okay, and that license can do a variety of different things. You've got the power to give it that license to drive anywhere, drive on your L plates, your P plates, whatever it might be. When you say to yourself, "I've just got to get through 16, then I'm okay," you're giving yourself, you're giving your brain your license to basically just switch off and go on autopilot.
That's what it's done.
So making sure, and this is an interesting thing, whenever we set this objective for the day, I just want to feel like I'm, getting some consistent pars and just feeling like I'm playing some good consistent golf. You might go and play the front nine really well, and in your mind you're like, "I've achieved my goal," and then switch off the back nine. So it's really important when you set an intention for the day, or you give your brain a license to function a certain way, make sure it's from the first hole all the way to the finish line.
So map a round out basically to, this is my objective for the round.
Yes, for the round. Yeah. Cool.
That explains why we're not. Which I have done recently too, have a bad front nine, and I'm able to sort of turn it on the back and sort of get back to pretty much my handicap. So my mind's going, let's get this back on track. So
just build an intention for the entire round. Have a think about what are the typical obstacles that you might face in a round of golf that are fairly consistent. If it's a poor drive or a couple of poor putts, whatever those challenges are, you're setting an intention from the first hole to the 18th hole of how you're going to navigate those challenges, what type of commitment you're going to, undertake out on the golf course, what you're going to do in between shots, your mindset and attitude for the round and whatever it might be, but set it from start to finish irrespective of score. If you're doing really, really well, keep doing it. If you're doing really, really poorly, keep doing it. Then you build up that sort of that bandwidth resilience to be able to focus on those intentions for the entire round. Obviously, there's more pressure on and more resistance on those the closer we get to the clubhouse. So that's sometimes when we need to go, hey, I need to do even a better job of these last three holes, because I know that's when my mind's going to start to future think and attach to the outcome, attach to the score. Or for you, sometimes it might be, hey, I'm doing a really good job here. I've got shots up my sleeve to spin. I'll switch off and just chill out for the last couple of holes. But we want you to be really engaged and keep driving that round of golf all the way through to the finish line. It's like a 400-meter runner. They've got their different stages in a race where they have to kick and they're smooth, they're transitioning. They wouldn't get to the 50-meter mark before the finish line and just take their foot off the gas.
Yep.
we've seen it before, though. Many guys and girls just think they're finished and they pull off the gas and they get overtaken. And but yeah, I think that's
So that's, is there an element in all this that wherever I am is the aim to be one better, almost, that the next hole is a chance to be one better than I am now?
Yes. Yep. Yeah, most definitely. And then the other thing I was going to suggest about, like, the 9 holes of 2-ball best ball, where you actually are getting under par, 1-under, 2-under, 3-under, 4-under, you're putting yourself in an environment to go very deep under par, which gives you that, we're exposing you to an uncomfortable scoreline because it is so many under par. That's one way to approach it. Another way, and I remember a story from years ago with Stacey Keating, when I worked with her and she was on the Ladies European Tour. She found a very similar thing. She just couldn't go low. And one of the strategies that we used was every time Stace would make a birdie, she would say to herself, "Well done, Stace, let's get it back to even. Well done, Stace, let's get it back to even. Well done, Stace, let's get it back to even." Just that was on repeat. After a few holes, she actually didn't really know where she was. She just thought she was at, you know, one over par to get back to even, well within her comfort zone, and no sense of panic. So that distraction can also be a really powerful one. I think when we started working on that, she won an event, her first event on the Ladies European Tour, went into the next week, and first round of golf, I think she shot 8 under, lowest score of her career. I think she walks off the last green and looks at her fiance, then now husband, Darren, and says to Daz, "That was pretty good, wasn't it?" And he goes, "Stace, that was amazing." And she said, four, maybe five? And he's like, "Stace, you shot 8 under. But just because she kept thinking about, Let's get it back to even. So there's two ways of approaching that scoring comfort zone. I'm a big sort of fan of just stepping into it. I'm 3 under. Okay, let's try and get another one. But as long as we bring that attention back to what do I have to do right now to give myself the best chance to get another one, that's the most important thing. You know, as you go on and you try and break through your lower score, which is 3 under. Hopefully sometime in the next few months you're going to have a chance to get to 3 under, get to 4 under, get to 5 under and close a round of golf out where you're going to be able to step into this and have some of the strategies to lean on. But, yeah, I think the 2-ball, best ball off the front tee is a really good game. Set an objective of, say, 6 under. Once you do that, you go back a tee. Same thing, 6 under from the back tee. Then the next one, back tee again. And you just keep moving back until you're at the very back tee. If you can shoot 6 under through 9 off the very back tees, you've broken through a nice scoring comfort zone and probably have the skills to be able to deal with that on the golf course.
Sounds great. That's one we will try, but it's interesting with the back to par because every time I've broken par, I couldn't probably tell you what I've had. I've actually had scorers argue with me that I had lower than I had. Right. In some of those rounds, I'd lose all track of where I am and just they normally a good day.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So, yeah, you know, I think that the setting of that intention is really, you know, I suppose we liken it to you on cruise control, you know, where you've got a couple up your sleeve to spend and you're like, that doesn't really matter to you. Like, hang on, I've got an opportunity here to have a really great round of golf, and that's what I'm out here to try and commit to.
Yeah.
Because let's say you don't end up executing that really good round of golf, you're 2 under through 12 and you finish at 1 over, still a great round of golf. Mm-hmm. But the beauty of it is you come off that course and you're like, I loved what I just went through.
Yeah.
You know, that heart rate, that environment, I've got a chance to do something awesome. That's why we play the game. Whether we actually get the outcome that we desire or not, it's nice, but just being in that environment and having those feelings is what we play golf for.
Yeah.
So, awesome. Yeah, so that's great.
Jamie, I think we saw a great example of, you know, maybe that stepping into it concept with Hannah Green on the weekend, you know, when she won in Hong Kong or Singapore, wherever it was, the LPGA event, you know, that birdie finish and that massive putt. You know, I don't think she walked off the 15th green, Daniel, and said, oh, well, that's it. I can hang the stumps up. I'm not going to win this today. But no, she just absolutely went lights out. That was phenomenal.
Yeah. And that's, you know, it's, you see a lot, you know, when professional players, especially, they've always got one thing in mind, and that is either to win or finish as high as they can. They know how much one shot can, you know, mean a big difference at the end of the year. Now, for Hannah, obviously, she's always going to be probably at the very upper echelon of the rankings, but they've just been conditioned to know that every shot counts, and I'm going to try and get another one. And, I think that's, you know, that's always something that us club-level golfers can also lean into and leverage off. And whether she went birdie, birdie, birdie and won the tournament, or birdie, birdie, par and finished second, she would have walked off patting herself on the back going, you know, I really closed out strong there and I did a good job. Mm. When she could have, I would say could have switched off. Some people just don't have it in their DNA to switch off. Other people do, though, and that's okay. It's about recognizing, you know, what it is you want and then putting a framework in place to help you to achieve that. So, I'm looking forward to seeing an update of your lowest sort of, you know, under par round of golf sometime in the next couple of months, and then maybe shaking the chance of beating your lowest score.
So do I.
I'm sure.
Daniel, I was going to ask you, and I don't want to take too much more of your time, but, you know, when you're out there in that club championship environment and, you know, like the second round, for example, and the final round, are you playing with the other leaders? You know, do you know where each other is and how far, you know, the buffer is? You know, do you know the score?
Ours is only in the last round that we were seated, so that we went out. And that was the same last year, which I knew I'd made a lot of progress when I think last year I was 1 under through 5, and this year I was 2 under through 5, and everybody else is just imploding. I'm watching what I used to do. You see them bogeys and doubles left, right, and center. For me now, with everything I've learned from you guys, and I do credit you with a hell of a lot, once that first shot's away, the first shot's always scratchy, but I've got a certain shot I play, which I just get away with. I used to use in pennant when I was nervous. And once that first shot's away, it just all comes. And that being in the moment, that clarity, that commitment, that, you know, that I needed for confidence, just all happens. So for me, yeah, I'd rather have 3 rounds seated for me because it suits how I want to play. But, it's the last round.
Cool.
It's great. And maybe I think really look at enjoying the challenge of breaking through this next little comfort zone.
I am. I'm genuinely excited right now. It's something I'm like, I think tea's being done out in the kitchen, but if it wasn't for that, I'd probably be straight out to the course now, I think. I can nick out to stall out the road. It's about a 5-minute drive and there'll be no one there. So I'm like, geez, can I get around 9 in a minute? I'll go see, I think.
That's great, mate. That's really cool. So thank you for joining us. Really appreciate your time, your input. And as I said, mate, we're really looking forward to some updates over the next few weeks. It's been a blast having you on.
Thank you guys for having me. It's always a pleasure and I love the podcast and thank you for everything you've done. I've said before, I still point people that the mental mastery courses are there and I do point people in that way because it has changed my life.
Mate, appreciate Beautiful. That. That means a lot.
Well, Jamie, there you go. Daniel Crawford. Up there in country Victoria, 2 times club champion. It's great to have him on board and he's certainly a big supporter of ours, as you've just heard. Great nuggets there for him to go away and put into play and we look forward to following on that journey. Until the next episode, Jamie, I'm sure we've got some other people to bring on board and keep this great vibe happening.
Yeah, Roscoe, we've got quite a few people putting their hand up. So, and again, to any listeners out there that would like to jump on and have a 30-minute discussion and hopefully we can sort of unpack your mental game and give you a few tips to go away with and improve your game and enjoy the game even more. But, it's been fun, Roscoe. I appreciate your time. I know you're not feeling great today. So, as usual, you're another professional. Really appreciate your help and look forward to the next episode.
Absolute pleasure. Thanks for joining us wherever you are around Australia or around the world on the Mental Mastery Golf Podcast, the Let's Talk series. Until we meet next time with another guest to unpack their mental game, we'll see you then. And thanks for joining us.